This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Roll sound.
Rolling.
Screen time.
It's Screen Time, where we discuss movies, television, arts, and culture, and give you a sprinkle of industry insights. Let's dive into the world of glitz, glamour, and all things Hollywood. Here's a question for you. How many times have you complained about how much you're paying for streaming services? All those streaming service hikes are starting to add up. On average, streaming households now spend $82 per month for four subscriptions to different streaming services, according to a new survey by Deloitte. And that same survey found monthly costs is up 27% from $65 a year earlier. Now, streaming was supposed to kill physical media and has come very close. The DVD and Blu-ray market fell from $4.7 billion in revenue in 2017 to barely $1.5 billion in 2022. Last September, Netflix also ended its movie-by-mail service. Best Buy has also removed physical media from its bricks-and-mortar stores, and some new films may never be released physically at all. Physical media will never regain its heights, but it may live to fight a little longer. In many ways, a counter-revolution has been gathering. Some film fans never gave up physical media. They've spent years quietly buying thrift store discs, while others have recently rediscovered physical media. Joining me now is one man who remains a huge fan of DVDs. Mark Staling is CKNW's in-house movie expert and an executive producer for AM 730. Mark, good to see you again.
Good to be with you, as always, Jazz.
So, why do you still have a DVD collection?
Oh, boy. Well, it's in my blood a little bit. I've always been a collector. My dad was a collector of LPs and then CDs, and I grew up with a library of VHS and beta tapes, you know, as a child of the 80s and the 90s. But now, you know, as a film buff, as a cinephile or whatever you want to call it, in order to see the movies I want to see, I need to have them at my fingertips. There's no guarantee that I can stream them or I can see them via other means. That's certainly part of it. There's something just physical and tactile and nice about having things on your shelf and having your little library that you can go and peruse and curate your own collection of movies from, you know, we're looking at 100 years of movies we're dealing with here.
So how many movies do you have, physical copies?
Just over 1,500.
No way.
Yeah.
1,500?
So, and we're looking in the range of over 1,000 Blu-rays, still pushing 500 DVDs that I haven't upgraded to the HD version yet, although I've taken this next step, this new plunge into the 4K world, which is the latest and greatest technology, which I think might be the end of the road. I don't know how many more, you know, pixels they can get involved. But I recently got a 4K player at Christmas. I've got about 20 titles there. And I'm telling myself I'm only going to upgrade those real movies that I just love, 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 those five-star titles to that new format. I can't go and upgrade every single title that I've got. It's a slippery slope. You want to have the best version available, but yeah.
What's a 4K DVD cost?
They're more. Oppenheimer, which was the big one, the big seller. I think the MSRP on that's $34.99 or maybe even $39.99. There, it's the days of two DVDs for $10 at the local, the Future Shop or Best Buy or whatever. Those are a thing of the past. The 4K discs cost a lot more to produce. It's a smaller niche market, so you're in the range of $30 to $40. Sales are key, so I'm definitely always monitoring the sales.
What's a 4K player cost?
Double that of a Blu-ray player, probably pushing $200.
Really?
You can get a Blu-ray player for under $100 now. I think the one that I got, which was a Sony, was, yeah, maybe $189 and then tax and everything. So you're looking at about $200.
So you want to go from Blu-ray to 4K as, for your best movies, that's for sure, right?
Yeah. So what's a movie that I recently upgraded to 4K? 2001 A Space Odyssey, Stanley Kubrick's science fiction film from the late 60s. An amazing visual film. So that's one of my favorites. So I upgraded that. Blade Runner, the original Ridley Scott film with Harrison Ford, recently upgraded that. So it's going to be those real big ones are the ones that I will be upgrading. I'll tell you, though, I've already been through this. I have probably 200 or 300 DVDs that I've upgraded to Blu-ray. So when you're getting into this zone of, you know, buying a title mm-hmm. 2-3 times, that's a bit much. But sometimes it happens, and you just have to, you know, if you're a collector, you got to suffer for your craft, so to speak.
I high kept some around when the streaming was taking off. But I remember keeping some, like Lawrence of Arabia. I love James Bond, Band of Brothers, that kind of thing. The Godfather series. But I've given even those away now. So I am strictly victim to the algorithm of Netflix and streaming services now. Do you see this niche actually continuing moving forward? Like, it seems to me that if you're a real cinephile like you are, you will continue this practice.
Definitely so, but I think it will remain a small piece of the overall pie. Not everybody is going to be doing this. I think I'm somebody that is, you know, I don't have a family. I'm a single guy, so I've got the ability to, you know, spend some of my disposable income on this. That's, I guess, a little bit of an element of it. But going forward, there's still a lot of movies. The studios they care about the big, big, big titles, but there is such a wide array of titles of international movies and this and that. And there are these smaller labels now that are getting the rights to these movies and preserving them and doing new scans and all of that. And I think that there always will be this strong market. We've seen I don't know when it really started, but there's been a big vinyl revival. That's mm-hmm. been a big thing in the last 15, 20 years. I know people really love the way records sound. And it's the same thing with this, you know, these hard copies of these movies. If you want it to look the best and sound the best and you've got the home theater to do it, this is the way to do it. And it's how much is it going to grow? I think people are again, starting to realize that you can't find everything on streaming, not even close, especially if you like older movies. I guess what constitutes an older movie now, the young bucks probably think that anything prior to 2003 is an old movie now, which boggles my mind to think that Pulp Fiction is considered an old movie or something like that that still feels fresh. But
we actually have convinced ourselves that you have access to everything with the streaming services, but you actually don't. A recent survey out of the U.S. said most families in the U.S. are subscribing to 4 subscription channels, paying about $61 a month. So even if you did that, that's movies that you're putting towards, or money you're putting towards your DVD collection. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious, I know you did an informal survey of the Chorus Radio Network here in the Vancouver area. We're good friends over at CFOX and AM730 and CFMI and NW. And I guess it was with the staff in regards to who's got actual physical copies and who doesn't.
Yeah, I did. And I got a lot of responses. I got 52 responses.
Oh, wow.
So it was one of those send it to everybody. So people out at Global and Burnaby got it. I got some responses from some people out there as well. 52 responses. And what I was questioning was, what do you own in regards to physical movies? I'm sure there's people that own TV series and whatnot, but my 5 queries were nothing, less than 50, 50 to 100, 100 or more, or 500 plus. 2 people had 500 plus, myself and somebody in sales by the name of Cam. So I need to connect to Cam and see what his collection looks like, because I know each other, but not super well. 100 plus, 11 people had 100 plus titles. The core was either less than 50 or 50 to 100. There was about 30 people that would have anywhere from 0 to 100 discs, but 10 people, like you, it sounds like, we're in the, I have completely removed everything and nothing. I didn't have any follow-up questions, but one thing I bet is the case with some of these people that have less than 50 or 63 movies, I didn't follow up saying, do you have a DVD player still? Do you have a Blu-ray player? Because they might have, I've got a box of DVDs sitting there. Do you have the ability to play them? A good friend of mine who worked in the movie business, who is retired, I play golf with him a lot. I said, I've got this new disc of To Live and Die in L.A., one of my favorite crime movies from the 80s. Let me lend it to you. I love that. I saw it when it came out. I want to see that again. And I gave him the disc, and he said, wait a second, I don't have a player. And it's not streaming. You might be able to buy it on YouTube, and streaming something on something like YouTube, there's buffering. It's just not as nice as an actual hard copy disc. So that's the follow up question that I didn't ask is, okay, you might have the discs. Do you have the ability to still play them? I guess is the question. But people still have them kicking around, but none of those big collections.
One of the things of having the hard copy is you're not slave to Netflix and Disney and Apple. And Amazon that you can actually watch in your own time, and you physically have paid for this. There's no other payments after that, rather than for streaming services. Last week, once again, we had the same problem in my house that many homes have. You sit down to watch something, and you go, oh, what do you want to watch? It takes you 25 minutes to find something that if you had your own collection or kept the good ones, you can actually go back to them. So I'm glad there's still guys like you.
It's nice to share yeah. art. It's a lot easier. Hey, you haven't seen that? Holy cow. Here you go. I'm going to lend you. You haven't seen Fargo? Holy cow. Here you go. You haven't seen Goodfellas? I've got it. Let's watch it. Let's experience that. So this nice thing about art is being able to share it with people and having a physical copy. Here you go. There it is.
Mark, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.